You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello? Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is the top real estate trends for the third quarter of 2020. But before we get started, hey, I'd like to touch base with you guys and see how you're doing. Some of you have been writing to me and letting me know things that you're up to. And I'm totally stoked that there are some great deals still being had out there. So keep your eyes and ears open. There are some good opportunities. Just be aware of the market. Be aware of the things that are going on that we're going to talk about today. But before we jump into it, I do want to give you the tip of the week. Simple tip, but an important one. Don't over leverage yourself. And you can be very successful for a long time in real estate investing and still go bust if every rental is mortgaged to the hilt. If you keep some of the rentals free and clear and some of them financed, then you'll have a good mix of safety and still being able to stretch your resources, okay? It's a smart idea of not, you know, especially with us old dogs, I'd say, you know, pay down those debts as soon as you can, because you don't want to get stuck, you know, after you've built up your portfolio with just tons of mortgages to pay off. You want to try to develop a strategy to pay those down. And it's a good idea if you can get some of your properties paid off earlier than you had suspected. I'd also recommend to people too, right now with the rates at what they are for 15-year mortgages, it makes more sense to finance through a 15-year mortgage. Yeah, your monthly payment will be a little higher, and it does, you know, reduce your cash flow to a certain degree, but I'll tell you, you know, not getting saddled into 30 years of interest payments can also save you a lot of money in the long run. Plus, you'll be out of those properties before you know it too, in terms of paying them off, if you don't keep leveraging them. And that's one thing that as an old dog here, that I try to avoid, you know, taking any kind of cash out refis now. I did that in the beginning, but I realized that now if you don't have the cash, don't get into it. It's a better idea, again, to pay down those loans. Refi if you can right now too. It's also a good move. Again, reduce the amount of leverage. You can kind of hedge it for those longer than expected vacancies, if they happen, or dips in cash flow or in the economy here. And you just want to make sure you're kind of hedging your bet. Okay, well, let's jump into our topic, the top real estate trends for the third quarter of 2020. Things are changing radically, and they're almost at record speed. It's really difficult to kind of stay on top of what is happening with new stimulus payments being considered. And right now there's a proposed, I guess at the end of this week or next week, they're going to discontinue the $600 a week little bonus that they built into the unemployment checks. And so that's going to have an impact. And we're going to that's one of the reasons why I want to talk about some of these trends so that we can be aware, keep our eyes open as to what's going on. Now, during the virus here, the U.S. economy has experienced a record jump in unemployment, record low mortgage rates, and just a whipsawing stock market, just up and down and up and down. All of these things leave the housing market in sort of uncharted waters. The biggest challenge right now is just the uncertainty, right? Where is the economy headed? How is the government going to play it? Has unemployment peaked? Or will this new change, for example, reducing that $600 there, is that going to reduce unemployment? Because it's going to sort of force people to go back to work if they want to pay their mortgage or their rents. So these are some of the questions on everybody's mind right now, but especially real estate investors, with the caveat that this crisis has perplexed nearly everyone who has tried to predict what's next. So I'm presenting here six top trends for real estate and the housing market in the third quarter of 2020, just so you can keep your eyes on them and be aware and monitor them as you can. Now, first trend is home prices are holding up. When the U.S. economy fell into recession, many feared that the housing market would follow, just like in the Great Recession of 2008. Instead, home values remained strong. Nationally, the median price of existing homes stood around, in May, rose 2.3% compared with May 2019, according to the National Association of Realtors. Even in hard-hit areas like Las Vegas, where hospitality-based economy just came to a just dead halt, home values have still held firm. The prediction initially was that the inventory was going to rise, panic selling was going to take over, and prices would fall. Instead, the results have been the exact opposite of that. True, demand for homes has fallen. There were 3.9 million sales of existing homes in May 2020 compared with 5.3 million in May 2019. Many homeowners delayed putting off their home sales and selling their homes because of the uncertainty of jobs and the economy itself. So there is that sort of postponed. If people were looking to sell, they pulled it off. I was selling a rental property, and I pulled it off the market. I know that firsthand. As a result, there's a strong demand for the comparatively few homes that are on the market. In fact, many realtors report seeing much pent-up demand, and the July numbers, according to some, are exploding. Despite the sharp downturn in the economy, bidding wars are common as eager buyers compete for limited inventory. It's like almost like when toilet paper first came back to the grocery stores, flying off the shelves. Well, the homes are flying off the shelves right now. Federal stimulus has been crucial to propping up the housing market. Generous unemployment benefits and mortgage forbearance has allowed borrowers to skip payments for up to a year on their mortgages. And that's taken a lot of the pressure off of people. Getting that extra $600 a week has helped a lot of people as well. But what happens when those things go away? In addition, the Federal Reserve has stepped up its purchases of mortgage-backed securities, a move that has helped to push rates to record lows. We're not seeing home prices drop too substantially just yet because of all these federal programs. However, it's unclear how long home prices will keep rising. CoreLogic, an Irvine, California-based corporation providing financial, property, and consumer information, analytics, and business intelligence, is predicting a 6.6% decline in home values from May 2020 to May 2021 as economic reality catches up to the housing market. So certain things there you're going to see, and we're anticipating seeing a change in home prices. Let's go into home trend two. Americans are migrating to the suburbs, at least for now. And I addressed this in a couple Fun Fact Fridays ago, where I talked about the boom in the burbs. And the coronavirus hit hard in places like Manhattan, the nation's densest living quarters, leading many commentators to predict that only the hardiest urban dwellers would keep living in high high-rises and commuting on subways. Many others would simply move to the burbs. Around the country, real estate brokers and lenders report strong buyer interest in suburban neighborhoods and only tepid activity in the densely populated city centers that now have been hot over the past decade. In the early days of the pandemic, urban dwellers, at least those who had the flexibility to move, looked to the suburbs as a way to socially distance. If office workers stopped going into offices for good, many of them could decide they prefer a bigger home in a less congested neighborhood. Remote work has proven to all of us that you can work from anywhere. It's causing people to question, where do we want to be? We may see in the future a migration out of city centers. And already office buildings are just empty. And many companies are making commitments to let virtual work from home be a reality. The emphasis is, again, on the words may, okay? New York, San Francisco, and other urban hubs have built economic momentum over decades, and they're unlikely to lose their appeal altogether. And, of course, all of us is another relative here. Many tens of millions of jobs are location-based, especially jobs that don't pay as well. Yeah, you can't really work remotely in a factory, for example. Now, the move from vertical urban living to one-acre living in the suburbs is clearly the trend right now, according to John Payton, chief executive of Realty Franchise Group, the parent company of Century 21, Coldwell Banker, ERA, and other brands. He further states, "What I don't think we know yet is that this is a long-term trend. I think," and this is him speaking, "this is clearly the phenomena until there's a vaccine." And again, I don't know if the vaccine is going to really change it, to my personal opinion. But while there's interest in the suburbs and it's grabbing the headlines, will that migration become permanent? Trend number three, record low rates are here to stay. Mortgage rates fell to record lows in June. Then they fell even more in July. The average 30-year fixed rate mortgage cost just 3.31%, including points, as of mid-July, according to Bankrate's National Survey of Lenders. Many economists expect mortgage rates to remain low and possibly trend lower. Many are forecasting rates are going to stay like this and all the way through, maybe next year. So low rates increase buyers' purchasing power, although they also drive up home prices. Meanwhile, lenders are flooded with demand from homeowners looking to refinance at these great rates. So with the economy still weak and treasury rates at rock-bottom levels, many experts feel the low mortgage rates are here to stay. Every time rates have looked like this, they might start rising over the last couple weeks, and then there's stories about COVID-19, reemergence, and second wave and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, given that fact that many states are, starting to shut down in the economy in their areas, and then it goes back down to current low levels and even lower. Trend number four, shopping for homes is going virtual. Since mid-March, realtors have been telling tales of consumers spending hundreds of thousands of dollars despite never setting foot in the home they're buying. Such sight unseen deals are made possible in part by virtual tours of properties for sale. Deserved or not, realtors long have had a reputation for resisting new technology. And that's changing, says Jim Wicks, broker associate at Keys Company Realtors in Stuart, Florida. Wicks says buyers increasingly are flocking to 3D tours and virtual walkthroughs instead of in-person visits. Wicks recently sold a Florida home to a New Jersey couple who hadn't visited the property. They worried that if they flew to Florida to visit the home, they'd be forced to quarantine for 2 weeks when they returned home. As much of a pain in the butt as the pandemic has been, it has forced the real estate industry to invest in technology. Trend number five, the mortgage process is going paperless, and much of it has already been that way, but it got accelerated with the coronavirus. Until March, borrowers marveled at the stacks of paperwork that accompanied the mortgage process. But with social distancing being the new rule, the lending industry suddenly embraced such practices as notarizing signatures remotely rather than in person. It took a long time for remote notarization to get accepted, but in a two-week period of time, states that had taken years to approve it suddenly had been approving it on a conditional basis. The industry has moved to a completely digital process with breathtaking speed, according to Leo Lumi, Senior Vice President at Digital Risk, a technology and consulting company. We've seen dramatic advancements in the push toward digitization in the last 90 days, according to Lumi. We've made a couple of years of progress in just a couple of months. From your dining room table, you can complete the entire transaction. It beats going to the closing company and signing reams and reams of paperwork, according to Lumi. The virtual trend means loans are likely to move more quickly than in the past, Lumi says, with the caveat that the current flood of refinance applications has created a backlog. So trend number six, our final trend, millennials are entering their prime home buying years. Now, much has been made of the reticence of millennials to get married, have kids, and buy homes. The average credit score of a millennial is just 670, too low to qualify for the best mortgage rates. As a result, a lot of millennials are waiting to buy homes. There's a litany of reasons why Americans aged 24 to 39 are not buying like their parents did at the same age. Record student debt is probably one of the biggest issues. And older millennials entering the job market during the hangover of the Great Recession, there's the reality that of depressed earnings that many of them got locked into. However, some foresee a boom in home buying by millennials in the coming years. Some millennials want to buy homes and are poised to jump into the housing market. This is the year that peak of the distribution of millennials hits 30, and that's a prime home buying age. We're right in the thick of those millennials transitioning into the home ownership demanding years. That's a long run tailwind that will last for many more years. Even student debt isn't all bad news. While college loans hamper millennials' ability to save for down payments, the debt also means those borrowers have acquired education and skills that will earn them more money in the long run. So these are just a few of the trends I see as sort of top of mind right now as we're assessing what to do with our investments. Are we to maybe hold on to our cash and wait and see what happens? Yeah, there may be some bargains down the road here if home prices take a dive. But at the same time, you know, are interest rates going to be as low as they are? We don't know. A lot can happen in the next month and next 2, 3, 6 months, all the way up to the election in November. This is a game that is all about change being the norm and trends flipping on a dime. So, old dog listeners, you know, keep your eyes and ears open, and really just watch some of these key trend areas, and that will give you, I think, enough good clues to know what to do and when to invest and how to invest. Well, that's it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And just look for the episode entitled The Top Real Estate Trends for the Third Quarter of 2020. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you. We'll be right back.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help. So you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.